ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text 60. Please see it on your devices. We don't have books here. You all have a phone, right? You don't have a phone. You're not even civilized. Whoops, I don't have one either. But I do have a laptop. Please have a look. You can share also to see it. Chapter 18, text 60, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Already looking for it. There's only one phone between all of you. What kind of yukta vairagis are you? Okay, I'll just read it myself without involving all of you. Swabhava jena kaunteya nibadha svena karmana kartam nechasi yanmohat karishyas yavashopitat. Under illusion, this is Krishna speaking to Arjuna, under illusion you are now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. Purport. If one refuses to act under the direction of the Supreme Lord, then he is compelled to act by the modes in which he is situated. Everyone is under the spell of a particular combination of the modes of nature and is acting in that way. But anyone who voluntarily engages himself under the direction of the Supreme Lord becomes glorious. That's the purport. In this verse, Swabhava Jena Kaunteya, the work born of one's own nature, everyone has to act according to the work born of his nature. This verse comes just after Krishna's description of the four Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, in which he says, Brahma Karma Swabhavajam, Kshatras Karma Swabhavajam, and so on, that such and such a work is born of a particular nature. So there are four basic natures in human society. The intellectual, priestly, religious is number one. Number two is the noble, martial, ruling. Number three is kind of interested in farming and money making, and another is the rest, who perform service to others or menial tasks. So these are four basic natures. But apart from that, everyone has their own individual nature. And just like we won't find two thumbprints of any two people the same, we won't find two people whose nature is exactly the same. We can say, we can generalize, we can say someone is extroverted, we can say someone is introverted, we can say someone is eccentric, we can say they are schizophrenic, or maybe that's not part of their nature, that's maybe part of the philosophy of psychiatry. We can say someone has a pleasing nature, we can say someone has an unpleasant nature, these are general terms, but everyone is different. And Srila Prabhupada notes in this purport that as long as one is not surrendered to Krishna, he has to act according to the nature born of his own work. That means that we acted in a certain way in previous lives, not just in the previous life. And according to the particular desires that we have acquired by association with the three modes of material nature, then we get a certain mentality, and then we get a body that is fits the mentality. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sango se sadasadyoni janmasu. Can anyone give the translation of this approximately? They caught you out there, right? Anyone? You can give. Anyone else? You should study Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse so many times. The meaning is, according to Bhagavad Gita as it is, others may interpret it differently, but the living being in association with the three modes of material nature tries to enjoy that nature, and as a result, by associating with the different material nature, different modes of nature, he gets different kinds of body, either sat or asat, means either in a pious situation or a impious situation. Of course, the word sat and asat, they can be understood in so many different ways. So unless one surrenders to Krishna, one has to act according to his nature. There is a verse much earlier in Bhagavad Gita. This verse which we just read is from the 18th chapter, the Svabhava Jaina Kaunteya, this verse. And much earlier in the 3rd chapter, Krishna says, Sadrishang Cheshtate Swas Ya Prakrite Jnanavanapi Prakritin Yanti Bhutani Nigraha Kim Karishati. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? So to change one's nature is very difficult. One has a certain nature. So to change it, now Krishna doesn't even recommend trying to change it. He recommends that we should work within that situation to become purified. And therefore, just after this, Krishna will say, Shriyan, 2 verses later, Shriyan Svadharma Vigona, Paradharmat Svanushtitat, Svadharma Nitinam Shriya, Paradharma Bayavaha, that one should perform his own work according to his own nature, not to try to do anyone else's work. Act according to one's own nature. According to the modes of nature and according to one's position. Swadharma particularly means within the Varnashram system. So unless one, Prabhupada has said in this purport that I just read, that one, unless one is surrendered to Krishna, then he's impelled by his material nature. But then even a man of knowledge acts according to his nature. So we see that people, when they come to Krishna consciousness, it's not that their nature changes overnight. Of course, they will become purified, but generally if someone's for instance, extroverted by nature, he's not likely to become an introvert by becoming Krishna conscious. It may be that someone who's introverted can come out more. They can overcome their inhibitions, especially that happens when devotees guard on book distribution, because it's not very favorable for book distribution to be introverted. You have to be assertive. Not necessarily forceful, but one has to assert one's personality to others. So naturally we find within the Krishna conscious movement that there are different personalities, as there are everywhere. It's not that to become a pure devotee, that the 26 qualities of a pure devotee are listed, and all pure devotees may have those qualities, some more than in some pure devotees, some qualities will manifest more than others, but it's not that pure devotees are stereotyped by any means. There are so many different kinds of personalities. Making a scientific study of that grass there, you know, get a PhD in studying dried grass? Yeah, okay. If you're not, then unless you have something else very important to do, please listen. Kindly do so. Listening is more important than playing with dried grass. Now, let's bring this to the practical. I just wanted to talk about three of the most famous disciples of Srila Prabhupada. There are so many famous disciples. Everyone say one name of a famous disciple. We'll have a quiz here. Jayananda, okay. That's the name that came out first. Interesting. Brahmananda, okay, we're all. Vishnujan. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Mukunda Goswami Maharaj. Can't think of anyone. Well, let's say during Prabhupada's presence. Now I'm infamous, but I definitely wasn't famous as one of the leading disciples of Prabhupada. I should have made it more explicit, more clear, my request. Buddha Bhavana, you know, read, yeah. Yamuna Devi Dasi, yeah. Madhudvisha, yeah. I guess you wouldn't know. Mataji, you know any? Don't know any. Okay, well, out of those names I specifically wanted to discuss today in relation to this topic here in Bhagavad Gita about nature, about Jayananda, Vishnujan, and Tamal Krishna Goswami. So you think I'm going to tell a lot of stories? I'm not, so look disappointed. You got the story. The stories are there in the Vyasaki Prabhu, who is another unique personality, no doubt, has brought out two volumes, and I think there's one more to come, two volumes of Radha Damodar Vilas, in which he's very expertly done so much research and well-written devotional biographies of Jayananda and Vishnujan Swami. Regarding Tamal Krishna Maharaj, even though he is such a prominent figure in Srila Prabhupada's preaching activities, more so, we could say, in many ways than Vishnujan and Jayananda, there won't be a biography written of him. As Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, ever frank, stated shortly after Tamal Krishna Maharaj passed away, that you can't write a biography because it's full of so much controversy. There's so many things. So they're very different personalities, right? Jayananda and Vishnujan, everyone loved them. Tamal, no. Not that everyone loved him. A lot of devotees were very upset with him, actually, in many ways, if we're going to be frank. Vishnujan, Jayananda, everyone loved them, and they're very different in many ways. Jayananda wasn't so much an outgoing preacher, but he was very good at engaging all kinds of people, especially the kind of people that no one else could engage. He would get them into Krishna consciousness. And he made devotees by engaging people in devotional service. Everyone loved him. Even the karmis loved him. There was some incident. That's okay.
He said that I should.
Okay. Well, I said you should. I'm more in the nasty league, like Tamal Krishna. No, he's not nasty. But I'm just. Whoops! Look, even. Even the stand is fainting in ecstasy, is it? No, it's not. I just fell over, that's all. So, with Jayananda, there was an incident that happened after he passed away because he used to get permission for, he went to get permission for Rath Yatra in New York, and the next year when someone went to get, I think it was Toshan Krishna Prabhu, went to get permission for Rath Yatra in New York, And there was some lady who was giving permission. She said, "Oh, where's that Jai? Where's that Jai?" He said, "Oh, he passed away." And she burst into tears. He had that kind of effect on people, that everyone loved him. He was really dhira dhira jana priya. He was dear to the devotees, loved him, and even the non-devotees loved him. And Vishnujan had a similar kind of effect. Whereas with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he once compared him to Giriraj. Not Maharaj at the time. How Giriraj, everyone likes him, and Tamal, he tends to get into fights. So what is this? Is this a class, a Tamal bashing class? No, it might sound like that. But, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a movement only of devotees like Jayananda and Vishnujan? Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone was like that? What do you think? Or if at least all the leaders were like that? You think that'd be really wonderful, wouldn't it? I don't think so. I think it'd be a Sahajiya movement. And I'm not saying that Jayananda and Vishnujan are Sahajiyas. But what I'm saying is that their bliss, their ecstasy, they were acting practically, they were just like pure devotees. Not they were acting and pretending, but they were on a very high level and absorbed in bliss. But we need other kinds of devotees also. Now you may say, am I calling Vishnujan and Jayananda Sahajiyas? No. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what books did he write? He didn't write any books, at least as far as we know here. But he did depute his followers to write books, and he gave them directions on what to write. If he hadn't written, if the philosophy and practices of Krishna consciousness had not been established, first of all, in books by the six Goswamis, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have been taken as a fanatic, and the Sahajiyas who don't like the books, the rule books, they would have taken advantage to say that, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just danced and chanted, and he didn't give any rules. In fact, he said, "Namna makari bahudani jasarva shaktis tatra pritani amita smaranena kalaha." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said there are no rules for chanting. But specifically, he said in relation to remembrance of the names and of time. But he didn't say there are no rules whatsoever. So the rules were actually given by Rupa Goswami in his books, and later that was revealed in another book, Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had personally instructed Rupa Goswami what to write. So if we only have ecstasy men and ecstasy women, then one thing is a lot of people won't be attracted, because some people are attracted by philosophy and intellectualism. I plan to speak about that this evening, about Madhvacharya, who attracted a very intellectual class of people and set up a very intellectual sampradaya. Some people won't be attracted to that, and those that are attracted, they may be attracted to the bliss and the ecstasy, but not to the rules that they require to follow and to the philosophy that they require to understand. So if we only had devotees like Jayananda and Vishnujan, and I'm saying like them, but who's like them, isn't it? Then they're exceptional. Probably we wouldn't have a Mayapur project. Why do I say that? Any idea why I said that? Remember, I'm talking about Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Any idea? Why? You know. You know. Okay, I'll tell. You know. That for months, Srila Prabhupada had been trying to purchase land in Mayapur. He didn't get any land. He'd been trying to do it through devotees by correspondence. Eventually, he brought Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he got the land, which others couldn't do. By the force of his personality, or the determination, or whatever, he did that. Maybe no one else in the whole movement except Prabhupada could do it. Prabhupada himself, or maybe even Tamal's, even maybe more even heavy than Prabhupada in some cases, it might seem. So, Vishnujan Swami was traveling around in a bus, chanting during college programs. He was perfectly happy with that. He could have gone on doing that with a group of four or five devotees. Tamal Krishna Maharaj came and joined him, and he saw the potential that we're going to these colleges and doing these programs and moving on, but we should pick up men because there are so many young men who can join us. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj started preaching to the men, and quite heavily in many cases, that you shave up immediately, come. He was very forceful. Vishnujan Swami wasn't forceful like that. He was very attractive. Tamal was forceful, and his forcefulness often fried people out, to use classic ISKCON hippie terminology. But by that forcefulness, he was able to bring so many devotees. And then Vishnujan started with one broken down bus, and then Tamal developed in a short time. They had a dozen or more first-class Greyhound buses filled with devotees, crisscrossing the United States, distributing unprecedented numbers of books. So Vishnujan, that wasn't his nature to do that. He was very, very happy just to go from place to place like a transcendental minstrel and do programs, and people would love it and they'd love him. And he did. I'm not saying he didn't make devotees. Certainly he made devotees, but Tamal systemized it. That's what we can say. Vishnujan wasn't a very systematic person. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was. So in so many ways, Prabhupada, he intimately trusted Tamal. TKG, that's his acronym. TKG himself was happy with, because he titled his diary when he published it, TKG's Diary. It's a bit of a long name, so they usually, in short, call him TKG or Tamal. Prabhupada said he would go through fire for Krishna. So we need Tamal also, and we need Bhuta Bhavana, and we need everyone. We need all kinds of devotees, but they're, we need you. Uncle Sam needs you. No, Krishna needs... Krishna doesn't need you, but we need to push on the movement. And so there are all different kinds of natures, and everyone has different contribution to make. Not that everyone's the same. Now, that doesn't mean that, it's my nature to smoke dope. So no, that's not. Well, even someone smoking dope, they can engage in Krishna consciousness at some level. They can come and take prasadam, at least, and they can join in the Rath Yatra parade. In San Francisco, the first Rath Yatra was held when? In 1968, was it, or 67? I think it must have been 68. And thousands of hippies came, and they were all dope smokers. I mean, a hippie means a dope smoker. But they came and they danced and they chanted and they took prasadam, and some of them became devotees, and they'll all become devotees because by the mercy of Jagannath, if not in this life, in another life they'll become devotees. So everyone can engage, but to engage seriously, to be initiated, to take part in the movement in a systematic way, and Srila Prabhupada did want to organize ISKCON in a very systematic way, not a fascistic way or overbearing way, but he wanted it to be organized, because for spreading Krishna consciousness we require to be organized. So for those who are going to seriously take part, then following principles is required. So everyone can come and participate at some level, unless they're very demoniac, or but at least we can try and give everyone some prasadam. And if they're demoniac, they won't come to join us anyway. They may come to harass us. Now, what do we get from this? Does that mean that it's good to be over? I mean, Tamal was, if you want to use one adjective, he was often seen to be overbearing. Do you know what that means, overbearing? It means forcing oneself on others, forcing one's way on others. Not physical force, but by the force of one's personality. Of course, he didn't just force, but he had explained why this and this should be done. But he was a very powerful person. Not long after he passed away, I visited Govardhan, the ashram he established there, and I visited his samadhi, Pushpa Samadhi there, with Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj, who's one of his disciples. And I after offering obeisance, I said to Maharaj that, and Maharaj had served him personally, so which was not an easy thing to do. Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj is a very saintly person, one of the unrecognized treasures of this movement. You could call him here if you want. He's very saintly, very scholarly. He's from a Brahmin family from Puri, and very, very naturally advanced devotee. He joined, I think, just after. Maybe Prabhupada was even here when he joined, or just after. No, it must have been 78 he joined. Anyway, so I said to Maharaj, I kept my distance from Tamal Krishnaraj. I told him, because I tell you the truth, I said I was a little afraid of him. And he looked at me in surprise. Why in surprise? Because I was afraid of him. He was surprised that I was saying that. He said, why you? He said, everyone was afraid of him. Which, not exactly true, but suddenly everyone respected him. Well, some disrespected him, but even in disrespect, there's respect, if you get my point. If it means you're taking someone seriously, even to disrespect them, it means they've made some impression in your consciousness. So I was just making that point that Tamal was known to be overbearing. Wouldn't it be nice if everyone was nice? Isn't it? Everyone was nice. But then sometimes it requires not to be nice also to get things done. Vishnu Jan wasn't always nice. You know that? That's described in the in that biography of him that once, because the devotees, they used to come on the campus of University of California, Berkeley, and do their kirtan and distribute prasada, and there were vendors there who were selling food, and their business was affected by that, and they became upset. It's not surprising. But then at one point, when some of them tried to forcefully restrict the devotees from going there, then Vishnu Jan, who was a huge figure, picked up a pole and stood ready to fight. He said, stand and fight, dog, he said to him. So he wasn't always, generally he was nice, but sometimes it's required to be tricky, forceful, what is that? Pashuvat Lagubi Laguriyata. I can't remember exactly. In Bhagavatam it said that Balaram, he was also, when he tried to convince the members of the Kuru dynasty to be reasonable in their attitude toward Samba for having kidnapped Lakshmana, then they weren't reasonable. And so Balaram, he was ready to punish them. And he gave the example that just like animals, you only understand a stick. And we're talking about Bhishma, among others. So at that time. So being nice is good, but Jayananda and Vishnu Jan, you can't imitate that. I, of course, you could try to imitate, but it would. We could try to cultivate being nice, but that was Krishna's arrangement, that they were like that and they were able to attract so many people by their saintliness. But we shouldn't think that Tamal Krishna Maharaj's forcefulness used in the service of Krishna was not saintly. We generally equate saintly behavior with being nice, but sometimes saintly behavior is not being nice. Ravana didn't think Hanuman was nice when Hanuman burned Lanka. And Hanuman is praised up to the present day for doing that. Lakshman was ready to kill Dasharath, his own father. He was so fed up, and he was ready with Dasharath for exiling Rama. And he would have killed Kaikeyi too, but Rama restrained him. So does that mean that Lakshman is any less the personality of Godhead, or there's any fault in him? No, that was an exhibition of his love for Rama. So in the same way, what Jayananda did and Vishnu Jan did and Tamal Krishna Maharaj did, they're all dedicated servants of Srila Prabhupada, and they all had their natures and they were all serving according to their God-given capacity. Everyone should do so. We find in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kashishvara, he had great bodily strength, so he would do the nasty thing. Daily, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the temple, there'd be crowds of people. Naturally, they'd all mill around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wouldn't be able to walk at all, especially during the Rathiatra season when so many people come. So Kashishvara would physically make a path through the crowd so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could walk through the crowd. Otherwise, they'd be all crushing in. So they might not be very, I want to see Chaitanya, just push them out of the way. And behind Govinda and Swarup Dhamma, they would follow. So behind also there wouldn't be any crush. They would follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and others would follow. Raghunath Das, before he left everything, he served specifically not Nityananda with his wealth. Nityananda called Raghunath Das a thief. Now we're going to punish you. You have to arrange a festival for feeding all the devotees and all the local brahmanas and people. So Raghunath Das, he served with his wealth. Prataparudra, he served with his power. Being the king, he made various arrangements for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If Kashishvara didn't use his strength, there was, why Kashishvara? He was a Brahmin by caste, but he was very strong. So you may say, well, Brahmins don't do that, but he was the best person to do that, to physically make a path through the crowds so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could walk. So we may say, well, Tamal shouldn't have been like that. And yeah, no doubt, sometimes he went overboard, we could say. respectfully say in hindsight. But then, it's just like Kashishvar. If he didn't do his job, then who is going to do that? Someone has to lead. Those who can't lead, they should step aside and let those who are going to do the job do it. And in every activity, sava aramba hido shena, in every activity there's some kind of fault. You can't please everyone all the time. And we may have our own nature by which we displease others, because everyone might not be very pleased with that. They might say, what is this Kashishvar? He's a Brahmin. He's supposed to be Vidya Vinaya Sampanna. Vinaya means humility. He should be possessed of humility. Where's the humility in pushing people out of the way? But that was his service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if no one, If no one else is going to do it, he's going to. Well, he's the best to do it. Others maybe could have done it also. He was the best to do it. And he was an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Puri. He was there 12 months of the year with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Someone who's wealthy, they should give significantly. Anyone here? No, we don't have any wealthy devotees here. But there are devotees who are wealthy. So those who are wealthy, just like Kashishra used all his strength for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those who are wealthy, they should give significantly. It's not that someone who's not earning much gives a donation and someone who's wealthy, they just give twice as much. You should give a lot, because that's the particular way that Krishna has given him the opportunity to serve. So if a wealthy person just gives a few pennies or maybe double what the average person gives, then he's not properly engaging his wealth in the service of Krishna. He should use that. And of course the excuse might be there, well, it'll be misspent. But then you find where you're not. Everyone's going to misspend it. Find where it'll be properly spent. Those who can lead, they should be given the room to do so with proper checks and balances. And those who don't know can just be bureaucrats and make meetings at others' expenses. And let the leaders lead. Let people do that. So everyone should serve according to their own nature. And even though sadosham api na tyajet, even if there is some fault in that nature, it shouldn't be given up. Another thing I didn't mention about Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he opened up China preaching. Who could have done that? Not at all an easy task. Anyone else could have done it? I really don't think so. So let's give credit where credit is due and appreciate the devotees for what they're doing. And at the same time, I should make that point again, it doesn't mean that anyone can do anything and be nasty to others or just take this as a license, but at the same time, we'll see those who are sincerely serving. We should appreciate that also. So, Hare Krishna, any question about this? Hare Krishna, that's Hare the Krishna. Answer.
What's I have the question? A question about engaging different personality in the same preaching movement.
Engaging different personalities in the same preaching movement. It is a preaching movement, it's not only a preaching movement. You know that? It's supposed to be a Varnashram movement also, which is not, Varnashram is not totally divorced from preaching, but it's most of the devotees in Srila Prabhupada's plan, most of the devotees should be engaged in Varnashram communities, which is not directly going out and preaching. Yes, preaching is for brahmanas. So, specifically for brahmanas, those who know the shastra, who are properly behaved, all this ideal character.
Yes, about preaching or somehow participating.
I do plan to speak on a related topic this evening.
So, yeah, my question is, sometimes we see on a local level that...
But what's going on is, out of necessity, we often engage all different kinds of people. That's going on also. But really, we're required to start our Varnashram community so people can be engaged at their level. And often we try to put people at a level which they're not fit for, and then it becomes a mess. They can't sustain it, or they can't reach up to that level. Still, our movement, the basic thrust is toward making brahmanas, but most of the people are not brahmanas. The people should come to the temple and and live in the temple and have very high standard, or otherwise if you say we're catering to the congregation, then we're catering largely to shudras, people who work in jobs with a very very poor level of spiritual life for most of them. We tell them chant 16 rounds. We don't know if they are. They don't have, most of them don't have any proper sadhana, nothing like that.
I asked a question.
Yeah, you can ask a question, but so I'm just clarifying some points. You're making a point, and on the basis of that, you want to ask a question, but I'm just clarifying some points that what you're stating may not be
completely valid. Yeah, so my question is,
valid.
Usually on a local level of ISKCON, we see that there is a certain specific personnel policy in each center.
In each center, there's different policies depending on the local leader.
Yeah,
the centers tends to reflect the outlook and personality of the local leader.
Yes, according to which some types of personalities they are encouraged to participate.
In which, like attracts like, so the kind of personality who leads the center will attract that kind of person.
Yeah, but we also
in some cases
see
you find they don't attract anyone because they're so unattractive and they're so nasty and they don't really want anyone to come anyway. That also happens.
Yeah, but we also see that then the other types of personalities, they are discouraged.
Other kinds of persons are discouraged. Therefore, we need our Varnashram communities in which all kinds of persons can be engaged.
So my question is this kind of groupism, specialization of centers normal? Should we accept it as such? Or should
if you don't like the local center, you start a center and preach, and then you can model it on your personality.
Yeah.
In the meantime, if you can't lead, let those who can lead, lead.
Or should we, or should each center accommodate all kinds of people? Because sometimes people lament because the nearest next...
You say they should accommodate all kinds of people, but different leaders have their own capacities also. There was a perceived problem here in Zagreb with accommodating all different kinds of people. And then the at least as I understand the situation and generalizing, then the best class of people who really wanted to practice Krishna consciousness seriously didn't want to come. Because the standards went down in the name of accommodating all different kinds of people. So you're talking in a utopian way that you accommodate all different kinds of people. That is possible in Varnashram communities because there are different living areas for Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and they have their own, they have their varying standards, and there are standards for their interaction also. Okay, anything
Thank
else
you.
Before yeah, we all yeah, burn up in the sun?
Basically, my question.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. I have one question regarding if you are acting according to your nature. Sometimes when we are not
acting according to our nature in Krishna consciousness means according to the direction of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, not that you just do whatever you like, and it means following rules and regulations, which purify the lower propensities, and which curb the lower propensities and bring out the best in us. So we hear a lot about acting according to our own nature, but that should be understood that it's specifically within the straitjacket, if you like, of the rules and regulations, which set very specific parameters for our behavior.
Now I understand a little bit more, but sometimes I make probably offense.
You have a
upset,
unique so. Nature.
Oh, Krishna.
Yeah. No doubt. We don't know anyone, at least in Ljubljana, who's ebullient like yourself. You know what the word ebullient means? means no. something like you.
Krishna, Krishna. But sometimes I upset some devotees. What should I
sometimes
do?
Sometimes you upset some devotees? Really? Wow.
What should
no
I
one
do?
Else has ever upset anyone else. Do we find anyone here who's ever upset anyone else? No, no one ever upsets anyone else. You're the only one in the world who's ever upset anyone else. Is that right? Everyone upsets everyone else. Whatever you do, someone won't like it. And if you do nothing, someone won't like it. Why are you doing nothing?
Krishna.
You can't avoid it. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy.
Hare Krishna.
End of discussion for now.
Thank you.
Mancha kalpa tarubhyas chakripa sindhubhya eva chapatitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.